From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Pakistani security officials say a U.S. drone aircraft fired two missiles into a suspected Taliban compound today in a region near the Afghan border, killing at least nine people. The attack took place in North Waziristan, where militants linked to the Taliban and al-Qaeda stage attacks on U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan. The suspect in last weekend's attempted car bombing in Times Square reportedly has told investigators he had attended a training camp in that region. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton told CBS's 60 Minutes that Pakistan would face severe consequences if an attempt such as the failed bombing succeeds and then is traced to it. From Islamabad, NPR's Julie McCarthy reports.
Secretary Clinton did not specify what consequences Pakistan would face and added that its recent cooperation is a sea change. However, the U.S. administration is reported to have conveyed to Pakistan that it had to move more assertively against the militants infiltrated throughout the society. The Pakistani Daily International News said today, "We may not appreciate having the finger wagged at us, but we cannot play with the Americans the games of obfuscation and denial that we play with ourselves." The Times Square car bomb was planted by Faisal Shahzad, a naturalized American citizen born in Pakistan. Investigators from the FBI are here poring over where Shahzad went and what, if any, militants he saw during an extended stay in his homeland. Analysts speculate that if the Pakistani Taliban were involved in the plot, it could be in response to U.S. drone attacks that have killed dozens of suspected militants since the start of the year. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Islamabad.
At least 11 people are dead after two explosions in a Russian coal mine. Jessica Gallagher reports from Moscow. Some 84 workers remain trapped underground.
Russian emergency officials say the first blast, most likely caused by methane, hit the Raspadskaya coal mine just before midnight Saturday, and the second happened about 3.5 hours later. The second blast destroyed the main air shaft, and officials have suspended rescue work as they try to ventilate methane out of the mine. Mine explosions and industrial accidents are common in the former Soviet Union, as companies and workers often cut corners to make production-related bonuses, and officials fail to enforce safety standards. The Raspadskaya mine produces some 8 million tons of coal a year, according to the company's website. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow.
BP engineers are working on Plan B. An attempt to stop oil gushing from a damaged rig in the Gulf of Mexico didn't work yesterday. They had lowered a huge container over the well, but ice crystals formed, blocking the oil from being siphoned out. BP's chief operating officer, Doug Suttle, said he wouldn't say it failed. He'd say what they attempted to do didn't work. Tar balls have begun showing up on beaches in Alabama. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. The ash cloud from an Icelandic volcano is continuing to disrupt air travel to, from, and within Europe today. Aviation officials are trying to prevent a full shutdown by diverting flights and taking a more selective and temporary approach to closing airspace at airports. We hear more from Larry Miller in London.
The cloud of volcanic ash extends from Ireland and Scotland over the Atlantic to Spain and Portugal and southeastern France. Switzerland and northern Italy are also affected. The 1,200-mile-long cloud has closed many airports and is causing flight cancellations and delays. Most transatlantic flights are being diverted over Greenland to avoid the cloud. The diversion adds about 600 miles to a journey. Planes need to carry more fuel, and flights are being crowded into narrowing airspace. European air traffic control officials indicate the disruption will continue and possibly spread as the week goes on. In April, a blanket shutdown of European airspace forced 100,000 flight cancellations and cost the aviation industry billions of dollars. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Actress Betty White was the guest host last night on NBC's Saturday Night Live.
You know, I'm not new to live TV. In 1952, I starred in my first live sitcom, which was Life of Elizabeth. And, of course, back then, we didn't want to do it live. We just didn't know how to tape things.
She added, "I don't know what this show's excuse is." 500,000 people had lobbied on Facebook for her to host SNL. White said at first she didn't know what Facebook was, but now that she does, she said it seems like a huge waste of time. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.